Shall we do it? Woo! If you guys don't know me, I'm hard of hearing, so I barely heard that. How are we doing this morning? There we go. There we go. Well, if you guys don't know me, my name is Frank. I have the honor to be the associate pastor here at Vintage, and I am so excited that you guys are here with us this morning. We've been in a series called Sons and Daughters, and I'm looking at my notes, and someone made some changes to it. This has to be Jesus, Pastor Jesus, because he put down the Niners are 5-0 and Cowboys lost to the Jets. So I'm going to delete that for a second. So before we jump into the message, I want to share a verse with you. And it's not going to be up on the screen, but it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 to 13. And it said, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. Live peacefully with each other." If you guys don't know, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And I started thinking about the month of October and Pastor Appreciation Month. And I am so thankful for the pastors that we have here at Vintage, right? I'm so thankful for Jesus and Audra. And every single Sunday, they come up here and they say this every single Sunday, you know, like, they'll talk to the dream team and they'll talk to you guys and say, you know, if it wasn't for you guys, if it wasn't for your giving, if it wasn't for you guys serving, you know, the kids ministry and holding those doors open, whatever it is, we couldn't do this without you. And so today, I just want to just take a quick moment and thank both of you for everything that you guys have done. See, because of your obedience to a dream that God put in their heart, to move here not knowing anyone, right? Living in a hotel for 6 months because they had to figure things out. And to say, you know what? No, we're going to be obedient to the call that God has put us. And I'm just so thankful for that. I really am. I'm thankful that the way I've been in church my entire life and to serve under their leadership has changed the way I view ministry. And so I'm so thankful. So can we give it up for them as they make their way up on the stage really quick? Come on up there. Yeah, so thankful for them. One of the things I was thinking, being a pastor can be difficult at times. Being a pastor of a church plant can be even more difficult, right? And so I know there's a lot of hard work, a lot of time, financially, mentally, emotionally, distress that can weigh on you guys. And I just want you guys to know that we are behind you. We are for you. We're so thankful that this right here is what you see, just the beginning, but it's because of what you guys have done. Now, I had a little gift that I wanted to give them. And if you guys know Audra, she is she's an Enneagram type number 2. So she just loves to help people, right? So she has a model that she goes by, right? And some of you guys are thinking, oh, you know, she's always talking about how can I serve you? How can I help you? She actually likes food more than people. Her model is fries before guys. So she loves French fries. So I got her a bag of French fries. There you go. So that's for you. They're gluten-free, maybe. I'm not sure. And then I heard you told the story last week, a very sad story of how he went off to college. If you guys were here last week, you heard this story. And he went off to college and didn't really have a lot of anything, including tortillas. So I got to stock him up on that, right? So I got you some tortillas, man. So we just want to say thank you. I'm just kidding. We have a gift that we wanted to give you guys just from the church, from the dream team, the core team, to say thank you so much. So this is a gift for you guys. Disclosure, everything in that basket is Audra's, okay? Except for one thing in there is yours. You'll know it when you see it. So we just want to say thank you guys. Can we give it up for them one more time? Thank you guys. Hug you later. All right, I just wanted to take a moment and appreciate them because I don't think they hear it enough. So don't go looking in the basket because you're not going to pay attention to the message. So thank you guys for letting me do that. I just wanted to take a moment and just thank them so much. So today we are in this series called Sons and Daughters. Say it with me, Sons and Daughters. This is week 3 of our series called Sons and Daughters. And we wanted to do this series because it is so important for each and every single one of us to know that we are sons and daughters of God. And this can get a little tricky. This can get a little confusing because this, we can't earn it, right? We can't earn and being into God's family. See, and we're going to talk about that today. But so today is week three, and if you weren't here for the first 2 weeks, you can go online or go to Spotify and check out our Vintage Church podcast. And I highly encourage you to look that up. But the theme verse that we've been following is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 to 18, and it says, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters," says the Lord Almighty. This is the promise that we're holding on to in this series. And if you haven't been with us the first 2 weeks, I encourage you, go back and listen to those messages because it all will make sense. We want to talk about the importance of what it means to be sons and daughters. In week one, Pastor Jesus talked about how we don't have to earn God's love, right? But we are in a relationship with God. It's not religion, it's not the checkbox that we do, but it's because of what God has done for us. And the three things that he talks about when God went silent for 400 years, right? And then he spoke again when Jesus was being baptized, right? And this is what he said in week one. And he said, "This is my son whom I love. In him I'm well pleased." And the three things that we pulled out was that God said, "This is my son." This is our identity, right? That we are God's son and daughter. So whatever you think, if that thing doesn't come to your mind, first something needs to change. You have to look at yourself as sons and daughters. The second thing we learned was that we are accepted. We have accepted. God said, "Whom I love." We are accepted first. We're accepted first. The third thing and the final thing that we learned was that we are approved. There's approval in God's name. He said, "In him, I am well pleased." Some of y'all, you need to hear that again. You've been going through life and you're going through all this stress and this hard times, and you're trying to make your way. You're trying to make it happen. You're trying to figure it out. All you need to hear is, and God sees you, and he is well pleased with you. He is well pleased with you. That's what we learned in week one. Last week, Pastor Zeus talked about his college story of not having tortillas, but we took care of that. And he talked about the prodigal son story, right? So there's two different sons, and one of them leaves, and one of them stays there and serves the father. But he also talked about a third son, a different perspective, right? And that was Jesus telling the story. Such a great message. And so today, I want to talk about what keeps us from seeing ourselves as sons and daughters. I want to talk about what's going to prevent us from walking in every single day in confidence, knowing that we're God's sons and daughters. And so I want to introduce you a concept that I recently learned about. And preparing this message, I've never heard of this concept before, but I love that in a relationship with God, you will learn more and more and more as you press in, as you keep diving in, right? How many of you guys know that? If you keep reading the Word of God, you keep praying, you keep coming to church, you keep going to life groups, you keep, you know, listening to podcasts, reading books, or whatever it is, you will gain more and more wisdom and knowledge, and you will learn more about God. But not only that, you will learn more about yourself and how God sees you. And if you're married here, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You've been married to that person for a long time, and you're still learning more and more about them, right? In fact, I just learned something new about my wife 2 weeks ago that just rocked my world. Like, it just changed my perspective on life. And we were talking about football, and if you guys know me, I'm a huge Detroit Lions fan. Any Lions fan in here? Oh. Come on, man. You're from Detroit. Cheer up. He's from Detroit. Anyway, I'm a huge Lions fan. I'm a huge Lions fan. And we were sitting down watching football. And my wife, she looks at me. She's like, "Man, I need a team to root for. I need a team to cheer for. Like, I need a team to be passionate about." And I looked at her and I was like, "Yeah, the Lions, right?" She's like, "About that." I was like, "How long have we been married?" "We've been married for 5 years. We've known each other for 10 years, and not once have you not talked about cheering for the Lions. Now, all of a sudden, you do not like the Lions." And she's like, "Yeah, like, what about them Carolina Panthers?" And I'm like, "Carolina Panthers? Why? Oh, that Christian McCaffrey is on my fantasy league, and he's been killing it for me. And I have to tell her, like, you don't change teams every year. You're probably not going to have him on your team next year, so that doesn't work out, you know? And we're sitting down, we're talking about Christmas. My wife's already on that train, and she's like, oh, what about gifts, you know? Like, what do you want for your Christmas gift? And I'm like, I don't know, you know? She's like, ooh, how about I give you some Detroit Lions tickets? Like, oh, yeah, that sounds fun. I kid you not. She's like, actually, what about them Seattle Seahawks? What if we go to a Seattle Seahawks game? And I'm like, why would you want to go to a Seattle Seahawks game? She's like, have you seen their lime green tight pants that they wear? It's incredible. Like, I want to go there and see it. I kid you not. She said that. Maybe not in those words, but she was. And I'm like, you're choosing a team because of their color of their jerseys, right? It just rocked my world, and we're going to have a conversation later about that. But anyways, all that to say, I'm continuing to learn more and more about my wife, right? When you press into your relationship with God, you will continue to learn more and more. So I want to introduce you a concept that I recently learned. And this concept is the concept of orphan spirit. I want to talk about the orphan spirit. Now, I'm going to develop this idea. I'm going to talk about this in different areas of our lives and how it affects all of us. If it doesn't make sense right away, that's okay. Stick with me till the end. It'll all come together. And I want to talk about this orphan spirit that is real, that it affects every single one of us. You see, the orphan spirit is Satan's primary strategy to keep you and I from walking in our sonship and daughtership that we have in Christ with our Heavenly Father. So when I talk about this orphan spirit, it is Satan's primary way to keep you from having a relationship with your Father. It is Satan's primary way to keep you from believing that you are God's son and daughter. And we're gonna talk about this. I'm going to show you how this is. But I want to give you a spiritual concept and definition of what orphan means. The definition of orphan means you're disconnected from the Father and you have no home. There's disconnection with the Father, and there is no home. If we look this in the real world today, right? We look this in the natural world. If you're an orphan, chances are you don't have a father or a mother, right? And you oftentimes don't have a home. You're in the system, or you're going from home to home, and you're trying to figure out a family that'll adopt you, right? That is a very real thing. And so when I talk about this in the spiritual world, the enemy, Satan, knows of this, and he wants to instill this in every single one of us because he wants us to be disconnected from the Father, and he wants us to have no home. And the reason why I bring this up is because when we have a relationship with God, and we believe in the best, and we believe that God is working, and I believe that God is doing miracles, and he's doing all these different things in our lives, we have to realize that there's an enemy working too. We have to realize that the enemy is working to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will do anything and everything to keep you from walking in your sonship and your daughtership. And so the reason why I'm bringing this up today is because if we can realize how the enemy is attacking us, we can fight back. We can start to defend ourselves. We can start to put ourselves in a place where we see and recognize what the enemy is doing before he even comes to us. Right? And we can stand firm. So that's why I want to develop this idea with you today. And what I love about this is when you have a connection with the Father, you will always have a home. When you are connected with your Heavenly Father, you will always have a home. You know, when you're at home and you're in your comfort place, right? Like when you're at home and you just relax, unless you have a roommate, and then you got to work that out. But I have a roommate, but he's been great. He's up in his room, doesn't really bother us, so that's fine. But when you're at home, you can just relax. You can be yourself. You're not worried about anything. Just peace, right? See, when you're in the presence of God and when you have a relationship with him, he wants you to have a home in him that is like that, where there is peace in the midst of confusion, where there is peace in the midst of all these things that are screaming at you that you have to do. And God says, just rest in me. When you have a connection with the Father, you will always have a home. But when we're disconnected from the Father, that's when the enemy uses the orphan spirit and hits us. You see, when the orphan spirit hits us, it makes us feel insecure. It makes us feel unsafe. It makes us feel unprotected. And it makes us feel like an orphan. It doesn't make it, we don't feel at home. We don't feel at peace, right? Because the enemy knows that if you do, you are connected with the Father. And that is exactly what happened to Jesus. You see, if we look at scriptures, you'll see Jesus lived his whole life, and he was what? Constantly connected with the Father, right? He talked about God as his heavenly Father. He talked about him all the time. The Bible says that he would often go away, right, and pray and spend time with him. He was constantly connected. And then we see that he went to the cross, right? He went to the cross, and we all know that he went to the cross for you and I, right? He went to the cross, and there were seven sayings that he said on that cross. And one of those sayings, he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? Father, why have you forsaken me? The reason why this is so important, because he was always connected with the Father, and then for one moment, he wasn't. For one moment, he was disconnected. He was disconnected because he chose to leave his home so you and I can have a connection with the Father. He chose to come down here to take on all of our sins, past, present, and future, and to pay the ultimate sacrifice, just so that you and I can have a connection with the Father. In fact, Jesus talked about this a lot. Jesus talked about hell, right? He talked about hell a lot more than he talked about heaven. And the Bible talks about all these different things of hell, and you know, and people think of fire and you know awfulness and tormenting and all. But Jesus describes it in this one statement that is more powerful than I think of all the statements, is that hell is eternal disconnection from the Father. Eternal disconnection. And the reason why he's saying this is because he wants us to be connected with God. He wants us to be connected. So why is there disconnection? Why is there even an orphan spirit in play? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how we got here, how this orphan spirit came into play. You see, if we go to the very beginning, to go back to the very beginning. In fact, I would encourage you to, if when you read scriptures and you read Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, you'll see how God formed the earth and how God created man. It's a fascinating story. But did you know that Satan's name was Lucifer? And Lucifer used to dwell in heaven. He used to live in heaven with God. In fact, he was the worship leader in heaven. And the Bible and the scripture says that all of creation, the rocks and the trees and everything would cry out and they would praise God, right? They would cry out and they praise God. And Lucifer's job was to take all that praise and offer it up to God. His job was to take all of that praise and offer it to God. And one day, he decided to do something else. Instead of taking up all that praise and offering it to God, he kept it for himself. He wanted to be like God. So I want to share with you a couple of verses here that we see in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 15. And this is talking about Satan. It says, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. It continues on and says, you said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens and I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly on the utmost height of Mount Zaphon. And it continues on and it says this in verse 14. I will ascend to the top of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. This is where he made the mistake. This is where Lucifer made the mistake. He said, I want to make myself like the Most High. And this is important for a reason, because I'll bring this up in a different verse. But the last verse in verse 15, it says, but you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depth of the pit. Why is that so important? Because Lucifer, all of a sudden, became the first orphan. What happened when he decided to keep the praise for himself? He was cast out of heaven. He lost his home. And he was sent to the depth of the pit, right? The pit of death, right? And he was eternally disconnected from the Father. He had no home anymore, and he was disconnected with the Father. Now, since that moment, all he has been trying to do is make every single one of us into a version of himself. Disconnected and have no home. If Satan knows if he can get this, if he can do this in our life, that's good. He's good. He's good with that. You can think good things. You can have a good life and all that. But if he can get you disconnected with the Father, you will have no home. We'll be fatherless, disinherited, and lost. And he does that through the orphan spirit. But you know what's interesting? Is that mankind didn't start out that way. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, you'll see that. In fact, I want to bring a couple verses here that I'm going to kind of skim through the chapter, but I want to bring a couple key verses that we see that. So you see, when God created man, there was direct connection with the Father. Direct connection with the Father. So I want to start out in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And it says this, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." If we skip on to verse 15, it says this, "Then the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." What did he do? He gave us a home, the Garden of Eden. He gave us a home. If we look on to verse 25, it says, "And Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." This is important. They felt no shame. They were home, they were connected with the Father, and they felt no shame. But if we go to chapter 3, verse 8, it says this, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking into the garden, into the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." So they went from having no shame, all of a sudden, to hiding from God because they knew they were naked. Something happened in between these two verses. Something happened. And that's where Satan enters into this picture. And that's where Satan does what he does very best. And he tempts Adam and Eve, right? We all know the story. He tempts Adam and Eve. Mankind didn't start out as orphans. We started out connected with their Father and a home. But then Satan comes in and he tempts Eve, right? He tempts Eve, and what does he ask him to do? To eat from the tree that God told them not to do, right? And I look at all this and I see, okay, is it Adam's fault or is it Eve's fault? I don't know, but Eve was the one that listened to Satan first, so it must be the woman's fault. I'm just kidding. All the women are going to hate me after this message when I hear that. It was Adam's fault too. But we look at this story, right? And we see Satan tempting him. We see Satan tempting him, and he said, "Did God really say that? Like, did God really say that you'll die, right?" And we're going to pick up in Genesis chapter 3, verses 5. And it says this, and this is Satan talking. He said, "God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." You notice something here? "And you will be like God." What did Satan do when he was in heaven? What did Lucifer do when he was in heaven? He tried to be like God. Now what is he trying to do right here to the creation that he created? He's trying to make us like God. And that's where the mistake happened. I'm telling you guys, this whole orphan spirit concept is new to me. And as I'm sharing this, it is so fascinating to see how God puts it all together. And he knows everything, right? And it continues on and says this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. And it says, "So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken." All of a sudden, mankind lost their home. It continues on in verse 24. "And he drove the man out and he placed him on the east side of the Garden of Eden." Cherubim, that's how you say it. I don't know how to say it, whatever. "And a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." You see, they felt no shame. They were home, and they were connected with the Father. Then all of a sudden, there was shame involved. They were kicked out of their home, and there was some sort of disconnection with the Father. They hid. They didn't want God to see them, right? Because they tried to be like God. So what was the consequences of that orphan spirit? What was the consequence of sin? They lost their home, and they became disconnected with the Father. And that is Satan's primary way of getting you and I to not walk in our sonship and our daughtership. If he can get us disconnected from the Father, he's good with that. He's good with everything else. You can have good things in your life. Everything could be fine. You can have a great family. You have great finances. He does not care. But if he can get you disconnected with God, that's all he wants. That is all he wants. So what does this orphan spirit look like? How does this manifest in our everyday life? How does this look like where Satan is trying to tempt us in ways that when the orphan spirit hits us? I'm going to run off a few quick things, that different examples of how the enemy can attack us and how the enemy can use the orphan spirit to get us disconnected with God. See, for some of us, we may carry a victim mentality. We may go through life and we're always thinking, man, the world's always out to get me. Bad things are always going to happen to me, right? We're always thinking negative. Or maybe we see things that aren't there and we believe things that aren't true. Have you ever said something about yourself to somebody else that you thought was true? And that other person is like, where did that even come from? Like, that is not even true of you. Like, why would you even think of that of yourself? Satan will do that to enter in the orphan spirit, to get you to understand that you are not God's son and daughter. He will do anything and everything. He will make you believe things that aren't true. He'll start to make you bitter towards other people, right? Maybe some of us, we look at other people, we compare ourselves, we look at people and the blessings that they have, right? You know, your friend has that brand new iPhone, and you're like, oh, must be nice. God doesn't do that to me, you know? And you're like, oh, that's great. But inside you're thinking, I hope you break it, drop it, and shatter your screen, and you have to go back to your old phone, right? You make you bitter towards your old people. You don't have to pray that. I guess my wife, she dropped every single phone she's ever had and cracked every single screen. So don't pray that over my wife, because I already deal with that enough. Right? What about anger and rage? You use anger and rage to be heard in a different way. You want your voice to be known, but you speak through it through anger. Well, how about maybe you feel like you don't belong anywhere? No matter what group of friends you're at, no matter what job you're in, no matter what church you go to, you just always feel like you don't belong. And you feel alone. See, Satan will do that. He'll make you feel alone so that way you don't get connected with God. What about hiding behind rules instead of a relationship with your Heavenly Father? You see, a lot of times I do this. I'll check off the box. I'll say, hey, I did this, I did that. I spent my time with God and whatever, and we're good. Satan wants you to do that because there's so much more than checking off the box in a relationship with God. There is so much more than that. But maybe you're easily and constantly offended. How many of you guys know people that are always offended, right? They get on social media, and they're the ones on Facebook that always has an opinion about everything, right? About everything, whether it's politics or you know, the Second Amendment or whatever it is, right? There's always something. They always have an opinion. Or maybe they're at work and they see coworkers are gathering around, whispering, and they always want to be involved in that. Oh, what did she say? She said that. Oh, she's gonna get fired today, right? You know, you're always wanting to be in the gossip, right? Or maybe it's church leadership for you. Maybe you just left that other church and like, oh man, that pastor, he said something pretty convicting. Never going back to that church, right? All these different things we look at life and we say, man, how can the enemy do this to get us disconnected from the Father? Or maybe we become self-centered, right? We worry about ourselves and we focus on ourselves everywhere we go. Right? Maybe you're in a wedding party and you're the maid of honor. At a wedding, it's all about who? The bride, right? It's all about the bride, right? But the maid of honor is so concerned about how the dress looks and their hair, and she's throwing a fit and she's getting all upset. And what is it's not about her, right? Nobody cares that your hair is all messed up. It's all about the bride. But you become self-centered and you pull yourself away from people. The enemy will do that to get you disconnected. What about maybe some of us will always feel shamed? Maybe there's always anxiousness involved, and there's fear in our lives. And so we turn to other things instead of God to fulfill that need of peace. We go to, maybe it's drugs, or we just consume ourselves with work so that way we don't have to be around with people, right? Whatever it is you go to, maybe it's alcohol. You go to something instead of God to fulfill that peace. Well, what about this? What about always trying to earn love, whether it's God's love or anyone's love? That's me. I'm always trying to earn God's love. I'm always trying to earn your love, right? In fact, I think about this all the time. I think about this all the time, and I'm thinking, man, am I good enough? Do I do enough, right? Some of us, we may think that way. You know, in fact, after this message, I'll probably go up to my wife and say, hey, was the message good? Give me thumbs up. Give me no. You know, tell me I'm a good boy, right? I want to hear that. I want to hear that I did good, right? But if I don't go to God for those things, the enemy will replace human feelings with what God is supposed to give you. That is how the orphan spirit comes. And maybe some of us were thinking, yeah, that's me. Yeah, that sounds like me. Yep, that's how the enemy works in my life. See, we have a quest now to reconnect with the Father and to find a home where we belong. The bad news is the orphan spirit is real and it affects you and I. It affects every single one of us. The good news, Jesus paid it all. Jesus took care of it. You see, when he was on that cross and he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, he gave us direct connection with the Father. He gave us access to have a relationship with God. In fact, we see this in Acts chapter 2. And he's talking to his disciples. And Jesus is getting ready to go back to his heavenly home. He's getting ready back and he said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. There's a place that I'm preparing for you, for your name, for you, right? But in the meantime, I have a mission for you. I have a mission for you. And that is what? Go into all the world, right? And make disciples. Go into the world and make disciples. Share with my kids that I love them and that I care for them. That is our mission. Here at Vintage Church, we exist to love everyone what? Towards a growing relationship with God. Because we want everyone to know that God loves them. And can I tell you something? That is what Vintage Church will be known. That is what Vintage Church will be known about. And as a pastor standing here, I could tell you to go invite people and bring them to our next sermon and bring them to our next song or a song that we're about to sing and have them pressed into the worship. I could do all that, but can I tell you something? It takes a personal invite. If you go up to that coworker and think, man, I'm sorry you're going through that. But we're in the middle of a sermon series that we're talking about this. Why don't you come in and talk and come with me and see what God wants to say about this? You have so much power in your hands, and God has given this mission to you. To you. But in the midst of us reaching those people, and in the midst of us trying to get people to know that God loves them, we have to make sure that we ourselves are reminded of his love. That we ourselves do not let the orphan spirit come and hit us. You see, so where do we go from here? How do we get healed from the orphan spirit? How do we get to a place where we're reconnected with the Father? You see, the orphan spirit inside of every single one of us, it can't be cast out. You can't just pray it away. You can't ask for it to go away. It can only be replaced. It can only be replaced by the spirit of sonship and daughtership in God. It can only be replaced. In fact, the Bible says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 16. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are God's children. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you are God's children. It continues on and says that the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. You are God's children. It continues on and says this in verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You are God's son. You are God's daughter. And as we close today, we're going to sing a song that we'll get ready to respond. Question I want to ask you today is, how is your connection with the Father? Are you connected with the Father? Honestly, ask yourself with that. I'm not asking you how your life is. I'm not asking you if everything's going well. I'm not asking you if life is the way you're expected to be. I'm asking, are you connected with the Father? Because we are healed of the orphan spirit when we have connection with the Father. And all those things that I listed off, all those things that maybe some of them apply to you and some of them don't, and you're thinking, man, I just can't get away from it. Spend time with God and you will. Spend time in his presence, you will. Because when you are in his presence and you are in God's love, you will always have a home. And I don't know where you're at today. For some of us, we're running to something else. Some of us are hiding behind things that we don't want other people to see. And we don't want God to see. And so we run to everything else except him. And as we close today, I want to ask you, are you running to God? Right where you're at, wherever your life looks like, are you running into his arms? Can I tell you something? They're open. And they're here for you. And all he wants you to know, all he wants you to know, that you are loved by him. You are loved by him. The mission that God has given us, that he wants his kids back. God wants his kids back. So as we close, would you stand with me this morning? As we get ready to sing the song, maybe you don't know the lyric to the song. That's okay. I just want you to take this moment. Take this moment and see where you're at yourself. Maybe you've been wanting to be in a relationship with God for a long time. Or maybe you have been with a relationship with God for so long, but it's just kind of like nothing's happening. I believe God today wants to remind you, I am here. I am for you. And you are my son and daughter. And those of you that have kids, you understand what I'm talking about. To be a father, to be a mother. You care so much about them that you want them to have the best. You want them to know that there's someone for them, right? You want that. That is what God wants for you. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for your love. I thank you that you sent your son on the cross to die for us, for our sins. And because of that, we can have a connection with you. And I pray for those in this room that maybe don't have that connection. In this song, may we connect with you. God, I pray for everyone else that is going through life and is just kind of just going through it. God, I pray you would remind them that you have so much more in store for them in their life. You have great plans that you want to do, that you want to call out of them, that you need to get them to see that there is more than what they can see right now. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would remind us in this moment. As we choose to respond, may we be connected with you. It's when we're connected with you, God, we will always have a home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take some time and respond.